star is born, now he brings you the light with his hand and tide.
Music.
Cut that shit.
Yeah, cut it. Now, I know I've been missing since WrestleMania weekend. It's been real quiet. Not just on my part, but on the part of Jake and Logan Paul. Over WrestleMania weekend, I called out the brothers on our official Facebook page, proposing an idea for Joey Janela's spring break for next year. Told them the ball is in their court. What do I hear? Nothing. What do I see? The shittiest United States champion of all time retain his championship. So Logan, Jake, Joey, hope you guys are listening, or at least your people are listening. That little parasite, Michael Cole, he said that a lot of us were living vicariously through Kevin Owens and Randy Orton when they're giving you the beatdown of your life at WrestleMania in the middle of the ring. Well, I'm done living vicariously through other wrestlers. We're done living vicariously through other wrestlers. You're not talking to Vogel no more. Let me introduce you to the Demon Prince. Those brass knuckles and I Show Speed and KSI, they can help you all you want. But you got another thing coming for you. The match, no disqualification. The location, New Jersey. The date, WrestleMania weekend 2025. I know you shouldn't be too busy considering that strap seems to be getting a little too heavy for you. I just hope that Jake won't be in the hospital bed after Mike Tyson rips his freaking head off, clean off his shoulders. One match, loser leaves the business forever. Sound like a deal? Still waiting.
It's a tag team match, and I'm done.
Yes, sir. Exactly. It's a tag team match. The Brothers of Jobstruction versus the Paul Brothers. No DQ. Let's see how sadistic we can really get.
You've not been up here before, my friends.
Exactly. They don't know what's inside. With that, getting that out of the way, welcome to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast, you jabronis, with your host, the Demon Prince Vogel, and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. Face, how's it going, my guy?
What's up, buddy? How's it going? Since the call out.
It's been going. It's been real quiet. Real quiet.
This is what I got to say to the Prince, Paul brothers. read between the lines, boys.
Exactly. We're coming for you. So, yeah, it's been a great week. We've had for wrestling mostly because of we just coming off WrestleMania. And we're going to be talking a lot about WrestleMania, and we're not going to go through all the matches because you jabronis can watch that on Peacock, the replay.
Y'all can go rewatch that shit. That was a wild two nights. Just say that.
It was, and it seemed like this was probably the Mania that we had the most title changes out of any Mania that I can remember in recent memory. So without any further ado, we will be getting into our top stories around the WWE surrounding WrestleMania 40. Like I said, we had a lot of title changes over the two nights. I think I was right by saying that night one was definitely going to be the weaker of the two nights, given how many title opportunities were on night two. But let's just say that there was a few deserved title changes and a few maybe not so deserved title changes, but we'll get into that a little later. But here are all the championships that switched hands over those two nights. We had A-Town Down Under. They are the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. They they ended up getting the tag team, the SmackDown championships off of the ladder in that ladder match.
I didn't want
they
them
became,
to get that.
No, I mean, here's the thing. A-Town Down Under, I mean, they're good, but I don't think they are a tag team that is an established tag team at the moment.
Nope.
I think right now, I think it's possibly a filler for whoever they do decide to have win the championships. And I think that we're going to be seeing somebody probably take that over pretty soon, hopefully. The Awesome Truth ended up taking the Raw Tag Team Championships.
I needed that to happen. I needed that to happen.
That was R-Truth's first win at WrestleMania. So I figured something was going to be up, especially they've had a history of doing this. If you look at it, WrestleMania 35 was the last big, I guess you could say, anniversary WrestleMania, because every 5 years it seems like they go all out. WrestleMania 35, you had Zack Ryder and Curtis Hawkins, aka the Edgeheads from way back in the day. They ended up winning tag team championships, and that was in their home states of New York. So you knew something was going to be happening with this coming up. So I felt like R-Truth and The Miz, they're going to either win both or they're going to win one of them. I think we picked them to win both. We didn't realize that both of the different straps were going to be up for grabs. We didn't realize that SmackDown was going to be on one side and Raw was going to be on the other side. So we thought it was still going to be unified, but regardless, you know, we still picked –
tore them apart. We
exactly
need them to be torn apart.
So the next championship that we seen switch hands was Sami Zayn defeating Gunther.
I love that happened.
Yeah,
because Sami's worked his ass off, but
Sami has, and it seems like with this championship so far, Gunther has made it what it used to be. He's brought prestige back to it. He's held it for, at that point in time, 666 days. And Sami ended up defeating him. I feel like Gunther, like I said, brought it back. I think that for Gunther to get that push to the next level, that's what they needed. They needed him to drop that strap. Now he can go after Damian Priest, or he can go after whoever the hell he chooses now. And it's going to be interesting to see how much they push him. But then again, I feel like this is also a consolation prize for Sami too, since he did work his ass off. I feel like it's something.
I kind of feel like he worked his ass off for too long.
Yes, and I feel like
it took him too long to get it.
Well, not just that, but I feel like it also feels like, for me, it feels like Sami should. He was in the main event picture last year. He was in the title opportunity against Roman. You know, he had that. He had, you know, the main
He's
event
been
push.
Given chance after chance, but
exactly. And I feel like that this Intercontinental Championship, even though he is essentially a mid-carder, I feel like it's just a consolation prize to say, sorry, we dropped the ball on you so long ago under shitty management.
Yeah. Man, you're drinking that NOS. That's the
Then the next championship that we had switch hands was Drew McIntyre defeating Seth freaking Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay, did you
only
see how looked at him when Drew when Damian Priest's music come on? Did you see Punk's face?
Yeah, he about shit
priceless.
Himself.
Priceless. Priceless.
Yeah, he didn't think no one was coming out. I don't think that was planned.
No, I think it was planned. I think he might have been like just throwing.
Maybe he didn't know. Yeah, maybe he didn't know or expect it. Maybe everybody else knew, but he didn't know. It was kind of like the Paul Heyman situation where Brock Lesnar ended the streak, you know. So yeah, we had Drew defeating Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship, only for Damian Priest to cash in his Money in the Bank contract on Drew McIntyre. And it was crazy because you've seen, you know, all Drew had to do is take his championship and walk out. You know, Seth gave him his flowers, you know, congratulations type shit. I'll see you again. Look, you know, that he gave him when Seth exited the ring. All Drew had to do is just shut his mouth, not even go over to the commentary table. And that's where he fucked up, because that's when CM Punk came out and got him.
Yep.
So we also had switching hands, Bayley defeating Io Sky for the WWE.
We needed
Women's
that for a long time. That one,
yes,
is
we did.
One of the better ones. I liked that.
Yes,
match.
That was definitely a great. That was definitely a pretty decent match. I really think, especially since I think we mentioned this before, we have not seen Bayley as a face in 5 years.
Oh,
to have
oh,
her
it's been that
defeat,
long.
Yeah, it's been that long. She actually, yeah, 5 years. That Sunday, because that's when her and Sasha Banks threw that temper tantrum after WrestleMania 35 after they lost the tag team
yes.
championship. Speaking of the women's tag team championships, where the fuck are those at? We haven't seen those in a hot minute. Just thinking about that, you know, side
yeah.
squirrel quest. You know, we haven't seen those in a while. You know, what the hell's up with those? Did they finally just say fuck it and just retire them? I mean, it's crazy. And then finally, the last title change at WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes defeated our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship.
Can I be for real?
Hmm.
I felt like that was a trash match.
We'll get into that a little later. I know.
I was given a week to think about it, rewatch replays, and think about the build-up for it. And got to be honest, I got mad respect for Cody, but I don't know.
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that a little bit more in depth. I know I have a lot to say about that too. But yeah, those are just the championships that switched hands over the two nights. Like I said, that's probably one of the WrestleManias that I never expected to have that many title changes. Usually in a pay-per-view event, you're lucky to get maybe one or two. But this WrestleMania, we had, I think, probably a record amount. Like I said, I know I talked to you over the course of night one and even the morning of night two. And we figured since both of our predictions for night one seemingly went really well, that reality was going to set in and bite us in the ass, because we were picking crazy, like, book your, like, GM mode on SmackDown versus Raw, you know? We were picking that for, like, night two type shit. And it's crazy because just about all the predictions that we even thought about came right. You know, I mean, came to fruition, except for mine. I think I had AJ Styles beating LA Knight in that situation, and then I think I lost another one on night two. But yeah, I think I went like 9-4 like overall, so not too bad for especially a Mania, especially two nights. Each of all the matches that switched hands, they all were really decent matches. But I want to talk most, since you brought it up, is Cody finishing his long ass Stephen King novel. Like, I knew that there was going to be interference, especially given...
Yeah, because they lost night... He lost night one, so you knew there was going to be interference.
Exactly, but you didn't know how much interference was going to happen. And from who.
I mean, the Taker, that I think that was pretty neat. That was pretty cool to bring him back just for that. That was cool. Mm-hmm. Cena, I mean...
I didn't really care for that Cena.
I think next year he's going to retire, I think. Because Hollywood, you know, the everything was going on in Hollywood.
Exactly.
He's gonna pause there and come back for a minute. But he's just old as shit now. You can tell he's gotten old.
Well, you can, like, see that comb over that he has on top of his head to hide that bald spot that he's got, man. It's like, dude, just embrace it.
Just
old.
Embrace that shit. I've been bald since 18, bud.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
You've known me since we were, what, middle school?
High school or freshman year.
Yeah.
So over 14 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, man,
more hair on my face than I do on my head.
But like I said, we knew that there was going to be interference given the stipulation match that Cody and Seth lost the night before. But
I don't even
think
Rock should have been a part of any of it. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion.
It was kind of a letdown, if you ask me. Because
not wrong.
It seemed like he was there to abuse his power that he has ownership,
yes.
or partial ownership
yes.
in TKO.
The first night,
yes.
that pissed me off so fucking much. Like, I didn't even tell you. I was so pissed about that. Oh, don't tap to three or I'll fire you. Wait,
yeah.
what?
Yep.
bullshit. Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Exactly.
I would have done it.
I wonder if they're going to try to bring him in later on down the road to kind of be like this authority figure, even though they do have the GMs now. I wonder if they're going to make him like how Triple H was back in the day when he was the head of like the authority, when he had Corporate Kane and he had Seth Rollins and all that shit. I wonder if he's going to branch off now since the bloodline, we don't know where the bloodline's going from here. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. Especially given The Rock's power that he has, especially with his daughter, Ava Rain, being the general manager on NXT right now, see how that's all going to be incorporated too, because this thing, I think, is just starting to unfold. I think that this was probably the first domino in a long series of effects to happen, not only for the bloodline, but for The Rock and all of the members of that entire bloodline, you know?
Right.
But not only did we see appearances from the bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso, but we also saw the Shield, Seth Rollins, John Cena, and a dead man, The Undertaker. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been seeing this match getting a lot of praise amongst the internet wrestling community. But like you said, you know, you went back and rewatched it, and I rewatched highlights of it. I had we had about a week to think about it. And I gotta say, the ending though, like the match starting off, it was good. It was good. And then once you start getting the interference and the run-ins, you know, I thought that was, you know, good still, but it just seemed too rushed for me.
Yeah, too
pushed. Well, not just that, but too rushed too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like once Cena came out, everybody, like every few seconds, you start hearing different music, and you start seeing people come out. And it just felt like the night one, that main event was the longest main event in WrestleMania history.
Yeah.
And that ended at hours. Yeah, dude, it ended at like what, 11:30? And almost then this midnight. Yeah, exactly. And then this main event right here, you cut it an hour and a half short of what that first night ended, and you had it end at 10:30. And it was like, dude, this could have went on for a lot more, you know, a lot longer. You could have had, you know, where the fights continued between Undertaker and Rock, or the fight would have continued with the Undertaker, not Undertaker, but Cena and Solo, since they had that little beef a few years, like a year or so ago. And you could have had Jimmy and Jay do a little bit more, but instead you had Jay spear Jimmy off of the freaking stage, you know, and that essentially done. And then you had Cena taking out Solo, and then it was just like Undertaker taking out
The Rock.
The Rock, yes, thank you. And
I kind of felt like that was unneeded, but it was kind of dope.
I mean, it was, but then again, it's like the entire internet wrestling community for the past 4 years has been bitching and moaning and crying. And it's mostly, like The Rock says, the Cody crybabies that Roman went clean without any help. Well, what does that mean? How did Cody win? Cody won with help. So it's like it wasn't all Cody. Cody won off of a distraction, because if you even go back and rewatch it, when Roman gets pinned in the middle of that ring off of that distraction, he had a smile on his face because he finally got revenge on Seth Rollins for turning on him in the Shield.
Yeah, I seen that, and I'm just like, that's funny.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's all he really wanted in that match when Seth interfered, was to get revenge on Seth. He didn't care about winning or losing that championship. He just wanted to prove Seth that, hey, I still got your number. I'm gonna use anything to my advantage to take you out. But yeah, I felt like that match could have definitely went on a lot longer. It was probably one of the most hyped main events that I can remember besides WrestleMania 17 with Stone Cold versus The Rock. The Rock. But it's like it kind of lived up to it, but then again, it kind of made me wanting more.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is when it's at the Super Bowl of wrestling. You know, you don't want that more. But then again, I could see it possibly playing off into the summer, maybe finally finishing everything at SummerSlam, like we always say. mostly because SummerSlam is, you know, the one final hurrah for every for everything before we go into quote unquote the next season, the road to WrestleMania. That, or we can see it finish off in Hell in a Cell. And
when is the Elimination Chamber? I don't remember.
Elimination Chamber, that's on the road to WrestleMania, so that would be right after Rumble.
That'll be right after. Okay.
That would be that was March, always one of my favorites. Yeah. That is March. And then in June, I do believe we'll be having Clash at the Castle in Scotland. That's for Clash at the Castle 2. And I guess there's been posters that have been leaked online of it. So hopefully it'll be a good one. So I don't know what to expect on that. Of course, you know, we have we're not even close to that yet. So we got Backlash coming up. Then we got Clash of the Castle. So Backlash should be pretty good, even though that one will be a little bit harder for us to watch because it will be a little bit of a time differential for that being in France. They're having Backlash in France. So moving on to one of the championships that I was kind of mad to switch hands, and that was the Ring General, Gunther, losing his Intercontinental Championship to Sami Zayn.
I don't agree with it, but it may have been needed.
Yeah, it might have been best for business at the moment. It's no secret for all the jabronis out there in Jobber Nation that over the last few months I've been singing Gunther's praise, and I believe that he should have actually been the one to defeat our tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Now, I mean, yeah, Cody had to finish a story, but I figured, you know, Gunther would have made it more believable, you know, than having Cody out there whining and complaining that I gotta finish my story. Motherfucker, you still don't have that thing in publication yet? It's like, just move on, man.
I get it.
It was just like one of those things where I just wanted it to move on, and I felt like having Gunther get that title shot, you know, since he never had that opportunity against Roman, would have been something that I would have loved to see, especially like we said, since he did hold on to that title for 666 days before Sami Zayn got it. I just didn't want to see it because, you know, Sami Zayn, you know, a little bit of a traitor when he betrayed the bloodline like that, you know? But no, I hope that, you know, Triple H and whoever the higher powers are, I hope that they realize that Gunther did make this prestigious again and has made it a championship that should be celebrated now, should be one of those main championships that people strive to get. And I think that they should have Sammy also have a decent run like that. I think Sammy, he's really good as a face, but, you know, I see him possibly turning heel soon. So, I mean, it all depends. I'd like to see him get back and do like the same routines and the same moveset that he would do when he was El Generico back in the Ring of Honor days. But I know that he is getting up there in age and he can't move like that hardly anymore. But I think we did see it a little bit in that match against Gunther, especially with that brain buster that he did on the top rope. So I think that Sami Zayn, hopefully he'll continue to make it as prestigious as Gunther did.
I don't think he's going to hold it very long, truthfully. Maybe a couple months, maybe till SummerSlam. But truthfully, I don't see him holding it very much longer.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I don't know.
But you know what? I'm putting it in stone. He's losing it at SummerSlam.
Oh, SummerSlam. Okay. Okay, who you got him losing it to? I mean, because Gunther, that's not going to – Gunther's going to probably have one chance. I mean, he's going to have probably a rematch probably. I don't know what they're going to do
about rematch
clauses. I know, but yeah, it's one of those things where I know a few years ago, it's so hard now to keep up with that because, you know, every now and then they say, yeah, we're no longer doing the rematch clause. The former champ doesn't have the right to call for a rematch. And now it's like, yeah, the former champ can call for a rematch. We don't know what to expect half the time with WWE and their creative staff. So I think maybe Gunther gets one more shot, probably at Backlash maybe. And I think Sammy will retain. But I don't know who you're going to have face off against him, especially given in a couple weeks, you know, we're going to be starting to get the draft.
So we don't know where
everything and everyone's going to be going. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the episode a little later on. But yeah, so I think that, in all honesty, I would like to see Gunther probably get the first shot at Cody Rhodes after, who knows if Roman wants that rematch or if it can be a rematch.
Roman's not getting a rematch. He had it for 5 fucking years. Sorry about the language, guys, but it's the truth. He doesn't need another rematch.
Yeah, it's one of those things where
go home, sit on the couch, take a vacation, relax, and then come back as tag teams and work his way back up.
Ooh, you said tag team. Okay. Because that's kind of interesting that you said that, because I have something to play off of that in a little later on.
I always liked him as the tag teams. That was.
Yeah. I got something that I can throw at it. I think we might be on the same page, maybe.
We need somebody to come back. Okay. We need. Mr.
John Moxley is not coming back. He's not coming back. He's already got his contract still with AEW. There's no way.
AEW, I'm sorry. You need to come back. Be the Shield one more time. Take over. They can make the triple team tag teams.
The Freebird rule.
Yeah.
I'm not putting out a return from Moxley by any means necessarily. I don't think it will be anytime soon. I think it'll be probably after his current AEW contract will be up. I'm not for sure when that contract will be up, but I see him making one last run in a WWE before he retires. And I think you could possibly see the Shield reuniting. I don't know when. I'm not saying it's going to be anytime soon, but it's definitely a strong possibility. If his contract's up, I don't know the entire contract. I think he just re-signed not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. I can do a quick search on his contract, see if that's available. Because if it is soon, like I said, he signed a 5-year contract until 2027.
No, motherfucker.
So it'll probably be 2028 by the time he comes back to WWE, and that would probably be just enough time for one more run, I would say, especially with them being in their upper 30s as it is right now. Mm-hmm. I figure, yeah, it sounds about right, you know. I could see that happening one last time. I know that you picked Sammy to win at Mania. Who do you see stepping up and challenging and possibly winning that championship from him at that given time of SummerSlam that you're saying? I mean, it could be anybody now, especially like I said with the draft coming up soon.
I don't know. So, with that draft, it just throws a wrench into everything.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, that means that you can possibly pick anybody, and it'll make sense at this point in time too, because at time of recording we still haven't had the draft.
I don't know all of the names on SmackDown and Raw.
I would, and then you got NXT to factor in too, if there's any call-ups too.
Yeah, that's true as well.
But I would like to see For me personally, I don't know if you have somebody right now. I mean, I would say Kevin Owens, but
I was thinking the same thing, but they've already had their clash. They've already done that.
They've done it so many times. They've done it all the way back to the Ring of Honor days. But Kevin Owens has already said he will no longer challenge for the Intercontinental Championship as it is, because his idol growing up was Owen Hart, and he held the Intercontinental Championship for as many days as Owen Hart did, and he doesn't want to hold it any longer. So that automatically rules him out. So
I was unaware of that.
I would like to see maybe. I don't know though. It's a hard question right there, but I would like to probably see maybe Randy Orton with the belt. You know, we really haven't seen Orton with a belt in quite some time. I know it's a mid-card belt, but, you know, he is getting up there in age. But it would definitely
I was just going to stab in the dark and say R-Truth, because that would be fucking amazing.
R-Truth just... is a former Intercontinental Champion, so I mean...
That was just a stab in the dark, because I know how the comedic side of R-Truth would come out so much more. And I love the shit he's been doing with the...
Well, did you see him on Monday Night Raw when they have that celebration? Yes. He comes up with the...
that's what I'm talking about. I loved it. I loved every second of it. He's like, wait, what? Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Huh? Yeah.
Come on, little Jimmy.
Yeah. But please tell me I'm not the only one squirrel braining off a little bit. I mean, I think we're done talking about the Intercontinental Championship at the moment, but squirrel braining off to another subject. Please tell me I'm not the only one that thought that R-Truth, I mean, I wanted them to win, but for some reason I thought that they were going to swerve us at the very last second. And when they were introducing the teams, I thought for sure that they were going to have him at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh and not have him at the Link in Philadelphia, him being in the wrong stadium in Pennsylvania in general.
Yeah.
Remember when the Elimination Chamber was in Australia? And he thought it was, and he went to Austria. So, I mean, they have been known to do shit like that for him. So, I mean, I thought that they're going to swerve us last second and be like, you know what? They're not going to win it. We're just going to have him go to Pittsburgh, you know, and have him there and then have the Miz pretty much be by himself. I thought that's what was going to happen. But then when I seen both of them come out, I was like, all right, yeah, they definitely have a chance to win at least one of them. Looks like WWE may possibly have a new championship that could be up for grabs in the near future.
I've seen that, and I'm kind of excited to see what it is.
At the 2024 Hall of Fame ceremony, Yolanda Williams, the widow of Hall of Fame inductee Muhammad Ali, presented The Rock with the People's Championship that has The Rock's trademark Brahma Bull logo on it. Could this be a belt that could possibly be defended later on, especially if The Rock returns after filming his latest movie? And if so, what championship could you possibly see maybe taking a back seat or maybe getting pulled in general if they decide to bring this in? Because if you look at it now, I think in my opinion, as it is with WWE, you don't want to really turn it to AEW at the moment where you have all these championships and you have all these champions. Because right now you would have, you know, the Undisputed Universal Championship, and then you'd have the Heavyweight Championship. You get the two mid-card championships. And it just seems like if you add one more like they did with the 24/7 championship, it would be kind of hard to do. But considering that we are going into a new era of the WWE, could you possibly see, since this is called the People's Champ, could you see something along the lines of maybe like the Mystery GM, but instead of the Mystery GM, we get fan polling where it'd be, hey, you know, the people's championship's gonna be up for grabs. What two wrestlers would you like to see in this? And whoever has the most two votes goes at it. And then whoever wins will be the people's champ. And then they will defend it the same way. Who is gonna go up against so and so who has the people's champ? And whoever has the most votes will go up against that person. And
let me show you this belt real quick. Because I just found this one.
Yeah, that's almost the same thing. Yeah, it was, I think, if I remember right, because he came out with it on the when he was doing night one of the main event.
Yeah, he had it, and I thought it was pretty
something good. Like that. Yeah, it was almost something like that because it was a brand new championship that, like I said, Muhammad Ali's widow bestowed upon him.
I don't like the new one. I hate the new one. I hate that they made it
at heavyweight.
It doesn't.
I don't like it either. It's too gaudy, in my opinion. I mean, it just looks too modern in my eyes. I think they should make it more classic, because
I like this one here, kind of.
But if you're like me, the classic winged eagle will always be the heavyweight championship.
You mean this one?
No,
I love that one. That was one of my favorites.
Well, that's because Jeff Hardy held it. I mean,
no, even John Cena held that one. That one was still. Well,
John Cena was the one that made it. John Cena was the one that introduced
it. This one you're talking about. This one.
Yes, yes, that's the Stone Cold. I think of Stone Cold and I think of The Rock when I see that.
Yes, I agree with you.
I think of Mick Foley pinning The Rock too.
yeah. Sorry, this is my ADD squirrel brain. We were talking about belts, and then I just went on a
Stone Cold's heavyweight championship. Oh, that's beautiful. But the snake skin on the inside. Oh yeah, that's one. Oh yeah, that is definitely one of the nicest belts, I think. I think when they do it, like for, I kind of want to see that again. I kind of want to see a superstar custom belt like they used to do. I think the last time that we've seen that was during WrestleMania 35 when we had Daniel Bryan with the hemp belt that was
the paper.
The world, well, it was like a brown, yeah. And he ended up losing to Kofi and they ended up bringing back the original belt.
This one is the one that I absolutely love.
Oh, Jeff's TNA belt? Yeah.
Yeah, when they brought that out, I said, I need to buy it. But I apologize, my ADD squirrel brain. You said belts and I just started deep diving.
But yeah, I honestly don't think, I mean, like I said, it could happen like that, but I don't think that it's going to be something that's going to be defended. I think it would be nice if it was, but I think it was more like a commemorative thing to honor The Rock for some odd reason. It didn't make any sense why they would bring it out at the Hall of Fame, especially when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And B, why would you have the widow of one of the greatest boxers of all time presented? It kind of made it feel like the ceremony then became all about The Rock, you know.
Right.
And it doesn't help too that, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I think of WrestleMania weekend, I think of the Hall of Fame being on Friday night without there being a SmackDown, you know. Yep. And when they film it after SmackDown, especially in Philly, you can't keep those fans quiet for shit. Philly, they definitely have some rowdy fans. And it just seemed like it was kind of disrespectful to have it after the SmackDown because it seemed like they were all talking over all of the inductees.
Yeah.
And they also made the mistake by having Paul Heyman be the first to be inducted. They should have had him.
That should have been the last.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because after then, people were not giving a fuck. They were talking more and shit like that. And it just didn't hold everybody's attention at that point in time. And the only time that they actually did hold the attention was when the U.S. Express got inducted, because that was Bray Wyatt's dad and his uncle being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And that was actually really touching because his dad was like, yeah, Bray would have loved to be here. We wish he was here. And if you would join me, I would like to do something. And that's when all the lights for people's phones came on. And started doing the Fireflies, so it was definitely pretty awesome to see that. Speaking of championships, since we've been mostly on talking about championships and championship changes, we talked about two major championships that changed hands at WrestleMania with the Intercontinental and the Undisputed.
Guess whose title didn't change?
Mommy's. I mean, there was definitely
there was definitely some tension
between her and that lead singer.
Bro, that band is such an amazing band. It's
They are.
Tell me how side quest. Mm-hmm. Tell me how in high school I didn't know who they were, and now I'm like knee deep in Shit Creek listening to them every.
Dude, they've been around for a minute.
They've been around for about 12, 13 years, and
they've been around for a hot minute.
I've known a few songs of theirs, but like recently, I've been deep diving
into their catalog and everything, going into like their first albums and underground shit.
Amazing, it's ridiculously amazing.
And it's kind of funny. I think I seen something on, I can't remember where it was at, but it was like WrestleMania 38 Rhea Ripley meets WrestleMania 40 Rhea Ripley. Right? when she they're talking about the lead singer and everything, I was like, yeah, I could see it because that's how she kind of looked like in WrestleMania 38, you know. But yeah, going back, we talked about it a little earlier with the SmackDown and Raw finally having their own tag team championship belts back on the respected brands. That is something that I think we have been talking about for the better half of almost what seems like a year now. And it finally happened. I think it is best for business, especially going forward. I don't know all the details. I think we even mentioned it last episode, how it needed to change hands or something needed to be done with those belts. Because
we were talking about them needing to be split.
Yeah, because right now you have the deal with Netflix. Like I said, I don't know if that's – I know for sure that's Monday Night Raw. I'm not for sure if that's SmackDown coming over too and NXT. But it just seems like for them to get some type of deal done, that's what needed to happen. And I am actually really glad that it actually split and switched hands because it just seemed like it was too much. You know, you had these thrown together tag teams that weren't tag teams competing for these championship belts. And it just seemed like everything, like they didn't care about the tag division, you know. It just seemed like they just pushed the tag division off to the side while they mostly focused on the two biggest factions that they had and the two biggest money grabs that they had, which was the Judgment Day and the Bloodline. Because if you look at it, who were the main two tag teams that won those belts? The Bloodline and Judgment Day, with a little splash of Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes for a week. But do you now see, especially with Stephanie McMahon coming out night two and saying that it's a new era and that they're pretty much doing things how they want to do it now, do you possibly see them focusing more on that tag division and trying to get those tag teams that they had, getting those number one contender spots? Can we see a number one contenders match on like a SmackDown or on a Raw? Can we see that finally again? You know,
see that coming back,
because that's what we were missing also on these weekly shows. We had so many promos and we had so many, you know, one-on-one matches and so many, like I said, Bloodline or Judgment Day matches, that you kind of lost track of everybody else in the divisions and things like that. Yeah, the women's division still running strong, but it's like you just threw the tag team division out the window and we're like, yeah, who cares about them, you know? And, you know, with WWE doing that, could this possibly mean that the Hardys come back now, especially with both belts on different brands? Do you think that this would cement them to come back? I mean, especially, you know, like I said, two different brands, it'll be easier for them to, you know, go to either SmackDown or go to Raw and beat 2 to 4 tag teams that are established over there as it is and make a run for them. I could see that happen. I mean, I won't have an issue with it either. Because like you said, you don't want them to come back right away and win the championships right away. You want them to earn it. So it's like now that, you know, the SmackDown champion tag championships on SmackDown and Raw's on the Raw, you know, we can see that happen a little easier now.
Yeah. I can see them coming back now.
Well, not just that, but if you also, I mean, I didn't watch it myself, but I've seen a preview of it when I was scrolling through YouTube last night before I went to bed, and it was for Matt Hardy's upcoming episode for his podcast, and it had him talking about WrestleMania 40. So I mean, him talking about Mania 40, his contract's up. He didn't re-sign with AEW.
I thought I just read he did this week.
No, he didn't re-sign. Yeah, he said no thanks. He ended up not re-signing, and I think he's waiting for the contract details probably for Jeff to see where his contract's at. And I think that once his contract's expired, I think that's when they're going to make the jump. I don't know how long Jeff has on his contract. I can't imagine it being much longer than Matt's, especially since Jeff came in a little later after Matt, I don't think he would sign a contract that would extend over Matt's contract that by much.
Right.
Especially since they are brothers and they are a tag team. You know, it only makes sense that their contracts kind of expired around the same time. And plus, both of them being at being in Philadelphia on WrestleMania weekend at a wrestling convention, I mean, you know, some contract talks are probably going down at that point in time. Especially now, too, that the draft is coming up. So,
yeah.
And since we are on the subject of the draft, we got news that the first night of the WWE draft will be taking place on April 26th episode of Friday Night SmackDown.
I did see that. I don't know if I seen that yesterday or this morning or this week, but I do remember seeing that.
Yep. I mean, it's going to be awesome. I mean, I always get excited for the draft. I know it doesn't happen every year, but damn near close to every year.
It should happen every year. They need to bring that shit back.
Yeah, they need, I mean, especially nowadays, I mean, you don't want one show. I mean, especially if you're looking at it from a standpoint of ratings wise, you don't want one show to always be better than the other show. I mean, I know that they always joke around and say that Raw is the A show, SmackDown is the A show.
It's always,
I know, but I'm saying that. But you don't want the same people on those same rosters 24/7 constantly going at it and having the same champions over and over and over and over again. So it just gets to be a boring product. It gets to be watered down, and we're like, yeah, this guy's a champion again, stuff like that. So I think that it's going to be good, you know. It's always good, especially to see how things take place, because a few years ago we had the New Day break up and you had Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston on one brand and Big E on another brand, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see.
I liked New Day. That, I mean, that's another side note. But did you know that Freddie Prinze Jr. has always had a little dabble in the WWE?
Yeah, he used to be a writer.
Yeah, and one of Jeff Hardy's stories, I don't remember which one it was. They've regurgitated it with so many different wrestlers. Oh my god, mm-hmm. Why is my list starting today?
Come on, Cody Rhodes, get your list.
Yeah, no shit. Jesus Christ. But he's one of my favorite actors and writers.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. And I don't know if you watch a lot of like TV in general, but there is on A&E, they usually do, I think it's called like WWE Rivals or something like that. And they sit down and they have a table discussion. It's like Freddie Prinze Jr., Tamina, Kevin Nash, Kofi Kingston, and I forget somebody else. They're usually sitting around and they usually talk about it. And yeah, Freddie gives a lot of good insight on everything.
I love
too,
it. Especially like
oh, go ahead, man.
No, go ahead.
Oh yeah, especially since he was like a writer during that time that a lot of these stories were taking place.
He is definitely like this is a side note. He is friends with a comedian that I've gotten to speak with on a webinar, which is pretty dope.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome.
So like ever since then, I did a deep dive on Freddie Prinze. I've done a deep dive on shout out to Josh Wolf. I don't get paid.
Oh yeah.
To say
oh,
that.
Josh Wolf. Oh, okay.
I don't
Josh
get
Wolf.
Paid.
Okay.
I don't get
okay.
paid to say that, but
hey, he's one of my favorite comedians, man. I love his TikTok.
I've seen him. He's fucking him and his son are fucking.
Oh, him
hilarious.
And his yeah, dude, they are hilarious. I love them.
Next time they're around, I would like to go meet them again.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We're gonna have to set something up. I mean, me and you can go hang out and go fucking do our show and then go to their show. Yeah, all day, every day.
Especially with them, man. That'd be a good time. But especially since we are talking about the draft coming up, do you expect there to be a little bit more? I know we always usually have it, especially dating back to the years in which Cena was really popular. We always usually have one, two, maybe three free agents that pop up on.
Cena's gonna be a
show.
Free agent. I know he. I well, think he, actually, he started in SmackDown, right? Am I remembering that right?
I do believe so. Well, yeah, he started, on SmackDown
somewhere, but then he went to
SmackDown. He started in Ohio Valley, which used to be like NXT is now. And then that Ohio Valley class that he came out of was stacked as fuck. You had him, you had Lesnar,
you had Batista,
you also had Shelton Benjamin.
Yes.
All of those guys, except for Shelton, won the WWE Championship.
They did.
Shelton was the all. Yeah, dude. Shelton, I've been hearing rumors that he is kicking the tires and possibly maybe signing with AEW. Ooh. Like I, like we said before, you know.
I'm going to call it Brock Lesnar's going to AEW. Don't know when.
Don't know what happened. You said don't know when.
Don't know when.
So does that mean? So does that mean? Since Brock really can't cut a promo by himself, does that mean that Paul Heyman's gonna follow?
Well, you got to realize Paul Heyman started in ECW, correct?
Well, you also didn't realize too that Vince McMahon was helping him fund ECW. Because he couldn't pay his wrestlers. He took out a small loan from Vince.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. ECW's early days when they were doing like everything on their own, he was in a lot of debt. A lot of debt. And he was getting to the point where he couldn't pay his wrestlers. Like, wrestlers would show up to the event and they'd work it, and he would give them a fraction of what he owed them. So to keep the company afloat, he went to Vince McMahon, and Vince cut him a check. And then that's why later on, Vince ended up buying ECW and ended up having that shitty-ass version of WWE's ECW back in the day. You know, it wasn't a true ECW like Paul Heyman had it. That's how he sold the company. You know, that's how he made his money back.
Huh.
But do you expect with this draft, I mean, you know, we have the World Heavyweight Championship with Damian Priest. We have the Undisputed Universal Champion with Cody Rhodes. Do you think that they are going to be on, you know, SmackDown? And do you think one's going to be on SmackDown, one's going to be on Raw? Or could we possibly see them both be free agents and them show up wherever they want?
I think free agents, bro. That'd be so much more. For me, personally, I think being a free agent would be so much fun. Jumping back and forth.
It would be. Because not only are you going to get the exposure on Monday night.
Raw, NXT, and SmackDown? Bro, I would
be. Three brands that defended on.
Ooh. I would jump in each one and then just cause so much fucking chaos.
Oh, yeah. I think it would be pretty cool to see that happen. Bail, yeah. Cause a week of chaos and then bail.
Do it again next week.
But, yeah, I think that would be pretty cool to have that happen. But I think for ratings-wise, I don't think you'd – not ratings-wise, but I think to keep like you know, the tag team championships, for example, you know, they were combined and stuff like that, and it wasn't good for business.
That. That was so dumb.
So I think for what's good for business right now would be have the heavyweight on
what's good for business is put the Demon Prince in face versus the Logan Paul brothers.
That's always good for business right there, man.
I must say no DQ. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's why I said it. I said it already in the start of the show, man.
Full hey, circle, I even baby.
I even told you to get the tables, man. I've already been looking at fluorescent light bulbs on Amazon.
Give me some tables, some ladders, and some Jeff chairs. Hardy, you better teach me how to do a Swanton bomb because that's what I'm doing.
All you have to do is just do this at the top rope and it instantly happens, man. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't know how to flip, dude. I can't flip. I can do it on like a trampoline, but I can't flip anymore.
Just do like what RVD used to do. Frog splash.
Those are so dumb.
Fuck it. But yeah, and then you also have to look at it too, since it is the draft. Do you see a possibility, like what we talked about with how the New Day broke up? Do you possibly see Roman and the Bloodline possibly breaking up? Maybe having Jimmy on one brand, but then having Roman and Solo on the same brand.
I could see that, but isn't Jay? Is it
Jimmy's on the Bloodline. Jay's on the Jay's.
I thought one of them were on the other one already.
Jay's on SmackDown.
Yeah, and the other
and
two
then or Jimmy three or whatever. Jimmy. Well, see with the Bloodline though, they gave him that free agency type thing, where they could show up at any time to any brand, pretty much. Because if you realize, Roman would be on SmackDown and then he would be on Raw one night.
Yeah,
so they kind of did that with them, okay. but they are officially signed with Raw. So if you look up on their like whatever page, like on their roster page, they are officially signed with Raw, but they kind of go by the free agency rules. But my personal opinion is, since Crybaby Cody did finish his story, I think ultimately he probably will be a free agent. I think that they will try to, like I said, break up the Bloodline during the draft, just like they did with the New Day. However, like I said, I see Roman and Solo being on the same brand and possibly starting a tag team.
What if the Usos brothers get back together?
I mean,
and then
I don't know.
Two,
you'd have
and
to,
then,
you'd
and then have them to, two go against Roman and Sakuo.
But if you look at it, though, I mean, the draft is April 26th. That's like what, 14 days away?
Yeah, just a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility. But I mean, I think in what, 2 weeks? I think that's a lot of storyline to cover for Jay and Jimmy to essentially mend those bridges in a storyline. It could be possible. I mean, never doubt it, but I mean, it could happen. Who knows? I've seen stranger shit happen. We've seen Kane and fucking Daniel Bryan become a tag team, you know? So,
team hell yes, team hell no, team whatever the fuck else.
Exactly. So, I mean, we have seen it before with a face.
That was a cool team though. So
It was. I honestly could see Solo and Roman being a tag team on whatever brand they end up on, but I think Solo would end up turning on Roman
I could see him writing that in.
Did you pay attention to night two's main event when Solo did interfere and he was holding Cody Rhodes? That motherfucker spoke the most that he's ever spoken in WWE television, and he kept yelling at Roman, "Finish the story! Finish him! Finish the story!" Like that. He was getting pissed at Roman because he was taking his time. He was taking his time when he was doing that before he did that Superman punch, or the attempted Superman punch, I should say.
I did.
On Cody. So, yeah, Solo was getting kind of pissed. So, I think it could be a possibility where, hey, Solo could turn and possibly maybe reunite, like you said, Jimmy and Jay, depending on what brand they're on and whatnot, and possibly starting their own type of Bloodline without Roman and kicking Roman to the side.
Just like they did in AEW, they kicked Adam Copeland out. No.
That was Judgment Day. They kicked that.
That was Judgment Day. That's right.
Because he was the leader. Yeah, and then Finn Balor came in and kicked him out.
Where the fuck's Finn Balor even been at?
He's still tag team, remember? He was in the ladders match.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, he was in that ladders match with Damian Priest. Yeah, they were tag team champions. And then they lost it. But I think he's out with injury now because he actually suffered an injury during that match.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen him in a minute.
Well, I mean, it's only been a week too, so.
Yeah.
I mean, WrestleMania with two nights now, it just seems like it's too much.
It's longer. I think it should be like start at noon and go till 5 or 6 p.m.
That'd like it did back in the old days, like it did like back in WrestleMania 1.
Noon, go all day Saturday.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, the reason why they went to two nights, I don't know if you know the reason why, but WrestleMania 35 was the last one that they had as one night. And that was because the WWE, Vince McMahon, never notified the state of New Jersey and the transportation system what time it was going to end, they thought it was going to be like the last WrestleMania that was at MetLife, where it got over around 10:30, and they were all scheduled to have their transits and everything like that for the people to get back to New York starting at 10:30. Well, when no one was showing up to the transits, they're like, what the fuck? So when it got out at 12:30 at night, after having, I think, 17 fucking matches on the damn card, they ended up, everybody was waiting. I mean, I remember waiting in line for the transit back to the city. Got to the line around 12:45, and then it started downpouring rain. And so we're all waiting out in the rain. I never got to the inside that train until about 2 o'clock almost. That's Jesus how long the line Christ. Was. And by the time we got into New York, it was a half an hour delay for the subway to take us from where we were at in New York to Central Station, or not Central, but Union Station at Times Square. So we didn't end up getting into Times Square until about 3:30 in the morning. That's Damn. Why they have it two nights now, because of that shit that happened at 35. But I mean, like you said, it should be at an earlier time. I appreciate how they did it this year, because it started at 7 with no pre-show whatsoever.
Reason, yeah, the pre-show's got to go. I hated the pre-shows. I'm glad.
Well, I mean, the pre-show, yeah. I mean, like, it was a stupid
have
having
their,
matches.
Their conversation talk. The, mm-hmm. like, talk.
But the having pre-show matches was stupid.
Yeah, those are stupid. Those,
yeah, especially at
those Mania. Can be held. Be those can be Friday night or Monday night.
Exactly.
Not
That's
before.
What.
Not before.
Well, if you ever realize it too, remember during WrestleMania, the longest time on the pre-show, they would have the Mae Young Classic or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then they would also have the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, which now takes place that Friday before Mania. So it's nice to see that they're starting to do it a little bit different. But still, I mean, it was nice that it started at 7, because I was all pissed, because I was talking to you. I was like, you're like, yeah, man, it's starting soon. I was like, I was thinking, yeah, pre-show's at 7, first match starts at 8, and the next thing you know, you're like, Rhea retains. I'm like, what the fuck? When the fuck did this start, you know? Because I'm used to, like, pre-show matches and shit. I'm like,
yeah, that's
man,
what
okay.
I was thinking. Because I read somewhere, for some reason, I thought it said it started at 11 p.m. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, no,
it's
no,
so
no,
late.
Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, since we are on this, a little bit of the subject of the factions of Bloodline and Judgment Day, and with Judgment
Day, I want to see the Judgment Day go against the Bloodline with no interference, no DQ, steel cage.
Ooh. But who would you have? Who would you? Because you'd have. I mean, I know
it would be it would be Jay and Jimmy. Well,
okay.
Pretend there's no bullshit between them. Jay, Jimmy,
there really isn't. I mean, that's just all acting right now. So there really isn't any beef between them.
You know what? Fuck it. It'll be Jay, Jimmy. This is hypothetical.
Solo.
No. Jay, Jimmy, Roman, Seth
Rock?
Rollins,
okay.
and John Moxley. Say they're the. That's my dream team.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, you're leaving? Hold on.
I mean that would be a hell of a team so far. I mean, especially with, you know, the Shield reuniting and becoming part of the Bloodline. That would be something very interesting to see, especially since I even thought that, you know, Seth was going to turn and become part of the Bloodline. So, I mean, that would be even interesting. To see
Sorry,
him.
My daughter's leaving for the weekend, so.
Oh, you're right, man.
Give her 11s. But that was kind of that's just a hypothetical dream team. That'd be super sick. And then.
So I mean.
I think you take away the bobblehead fuckface.
The Funko Pop. The Funko Pop, JD McDonough.
Jeff Hardy. Who else should I take out? Because you got
you keep Judgment Day as is, except for Funko Pop looking motherfucker JD Madonna. So you replace
Fuck
him
that.
With
take
Jeff
Dominic
Hardy.
Out. Take Dominic out.
Oh, okay. So you could. Okay, so here's my thought. You take Dominic out and you put him with the faction that Santos Escobar has since they teamed up at Mania.
Yes.
You put them in that faction because it all makes sense. So you bring in Jeff and Matt Hardy, possibly.
Yes.
Okay.
What the fuck's that?
Finn Balor, Damian Priest.
Yes. Finn Balor, Damian Priest.
Jeff and Matt. So you need one more guy.
We need one more. So no. We'll keep Dom. Let's keep Dom.
I'm about to say you gotta keep Dom. Dom's actually improving.
I was thinking Mommy because she had the belt, but
I mean, you could add two women, one on the men, one on Judgment Day, and one on Bloodline. But who would you have in the Bloodline that would go up against her?
The Rock's daughter. I don't know how she wrestles. I've never seen her wrestle do anything. Mm-mm. So I don't know. So you think it's a no?
Well, I'm going to go with that. Yeah,
I'm going to go with no.
But
we're not putting what's her name in there. We're fucking
Nia Jax.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Even though she's family?
We're not doing that. I'm sorry.
We can't Tamina. Put in Tamina. She's family.
Yeah. That's
The Rock's cousin right there. So
there you go. There you go.
And Tamina's not that bad of a wrestler either. I mean, she was underused.
Is that six on six?
Not Tamina. Naomi. Six on six.
You know what? Yeah, that'd be pretty sick. That'd be a sick. But how long would that be? Say, give each person 10 minutes.
Well, you said that you wanted to make it a steel cage match. How about instead of a steel cage match, you make it a War Games?
Boom.
Two rings at the same time. No eliminations until everybody's inside the ring.
There you go.
That'd be a pretty good match. And then you'd have, on the outside, of course, you'd have the two women because, you know, you don't want them to have the intergender thing going on quite yet. Even though I think that would probably be good for business because we haven't seen an intergender match in like over 20 years in the WWE. I think the last one
I remember seeing
was China was like what China versus no, like fucking Jericho. Was, no, Santino, wasn't it?
I did forget I about say, that one.
Santino and I think Beth Phoenix, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it. Yeah. You know what? You're right. Yeah, that one was. It's always.
I just pulled that one.
Santino was one of my favorites.
Well, his daughter's in wrestling too now, so that's pretty crazy. Rolling
every time I seen that shit.
The
Cobra. Ooh.
Yeah.
That shit had me rolling every time I seen it, bro.
Exactly. Judgment Day captured the World Heavyweight Championship with Damian Priest cashing on Drew McIntyre. Could we possibly see? I mean, I know we talked about it just for a little bit with the Clash at the Castle coming up in June. Could we possibly see a fatal three-way between Priest, Punk, and McIntyre for that championship?
I don't. You've heard me before.
You hate it. I know.
Again.
But they love these fatal three ways.
So stupid. Because it's a 33. Well, in my brain, it's a 33.
Don't do Steiner math. Chance. Don't do Steiner math. Please do not do Steiner math. Samoa Joe, you have a 33.3% chance of winning that. Don't do it.
I don't agree. I don't know.
But I think honestly, though, given the history of them having fatal three ways, fatal four ways, fatal six ways, whatever the hell it may be, I think honestly that fatal three way at Mania was probably one of the best fatal three ways that they've had, or fatal whatever that they've had for the United States Championship, even though the wrong person won it. I think that was probably one of their best.
Hey, Logan best Paul.
Fatal three ways. We got two words for you.
Suck it.
Fuck you. but that's 2 months away. But I'd like to see the Scottish psychopath defeat both of them and get what was rightfully his, since, you know, that fake Damon injury.
Priest,
Damon that fake Priest. Injury that Punk had, obviously, because, I mean, did you look at him? He took that fucking brace off like it was nothing and was using that fucking arm like it was nothing. So, I mean, where's the injury, Punk?
You know,
let me see the x-rays, Punk. Come on now. And speaking of that, too, did you see what he did when he after he beat Drew McIntyre up a little bit?
I don't.
He went AJ Lee mode.
Yes, I did. Yes.
So AJ could possibly be coming back. No. Oh, man. With this WrestleMania in the books, it has been reported that this WrestleMania was the highest grossing event in WWE history. So, Face, I got to know, where does this Mania rank for you amongst the greatest, amongst the Manias in the past?
Well, like I said, my mom never bought me Mania when I was a kid, so I waited until I was older to watch it.
I mean, that's okay, man. I mean, for you, or I mean, you in your tier. Exactly, yeah. Or Peacock.
I still, the the Hardy Brothers returning was still always going to be one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because the Hardys come back, and I'm a diehard Hardy fan.
But if you ever noticed that too, you know, when the Hardys did return during that WrestleMania, that was the entire buzz across Central.
Yep.
That's what everybody was talking about. Dude, the Hardys return, the Hardys return. Like people who weren't even
that one, and hell, I had the Jeff Hardy pendant in football. And
yeah, yeah. Well, you still you had it in general, yeah.
I don't know what the hell ever happened to it.
Yeah, I remember it. I remember it. But for me, I mean, I think all of the jabronis out there in Jabber Nation know that WrestleMania 17 is an all-time favorite.
Because you went there.
No, not 17, 35.
Oh, 35 is the one, okay,
I
went
to. Yeah, 17. Oh, I was too. I was 17. Right. I was too little. That was still when they were. That was still when they were WWF. But 17. That's probably my all-time favorite, you know, Rock versus Stone Cold main event, no disqualification. Just the build up to that was something that got you really excited for. Like you could watch that build up video even to this day and still get excited for that main event. And that's been, you know, a long ass time ago. but I've always considered it probably the best, if not one of the best WrestleManias. But I think for me, it's definitely top five. I think it ranks above Mania 31. Which was the heist of the century. And that was Sting's, I do believe that was Sting's final match in WWE also, where he took on Triple H. So, I mean, you had a lot going on in that Mania. And I think that that was probably one of the best. I'd have to definitely say maybe top three. I'd probably be like WrestleMania 17, 31, then this WrestleMania, then WrestleMania 35. The only reason why I have WrestleMania 35 up there too is it's also Roman Reigns' first Mania back from his leukemia diagnosis. And he had a real good match there, and it actually set him up for that long-ass run that he had with the Undisputed Championship. So I think that that was, you know, that's probably my top four right there. So I'd say definitely top four for me. Speaking of Roman Reigns and leukemia, I don't know if you heard during Night One's main event where announcer Pat McAfee said something along the lines of Roman Reigns is battling leukemia and still working hard as ever. Of course, I'm paraphrasing because I don't know the exact quote off the top of my head. But after Night One... but fired. Fire me. But anyways, after Night One, they usually have like their little post WrestleMania interviews and stuff like that, press conference, and a reporter asked Roman about that, in which Roman actually broke character in kayfabe and said that he is still in remission but takes chemo pills daily to help him stay in remission. Which is great news, because I think I speak for a lot of fans when I heard Pat McAfee say that, my jaw dropped. It was like he's battling it again. But to know that, you know, it's something that's probably never going to go away.
Maybe that's why he dropped the belt. On like on some real shit, maybe he was.
But
like,
it might just be his health issue. Yeah, he might just might have been too much of a work schedule. You know, take a little bit of time off, especially you know, especially when that's still inside of you, and but you're just taking pills to help keep it in remission. I think that that still takes a lot out of you because it's still chemo, but it's a pill form. So I think it really does take a lot out of you, and I think that that's probably what he needed was that little bit of a break. I mean, we seen it last year. When I think it was in November, he wrestled his final match of the year, and he took like the all month of December off, and I think he took a little bit of January off, and it you know he came back and he just looked better, you know. So I think that's what he's gonna do now. Maybe take a month or so off, maybe come back for SummerSlam refreshed and ready to go for a little bit more. But you know, I'm still glad that it's in remission. I'm still glad that you know it's not something more serious and that he's actually doing better, and I wish him the best in a healthy future going forward.
This is very true.
So, Face, we are going to do some way, way, way too early predictions for WrestleMania 41. Now, it even hasn't even been announced yet where next year's Mania is even going to be held at. Some people are saying Minneapolis, Minnesota. Which actually makes no sense whatsoever unless you have it where the Vikings play because that's a dome. And people are already complaining about temperatures this past Mania with it being somewhat colder out.
Well, they decided to put it in a fucking stadium with no roof. That's not our problem. That's theirs.
They did the exact same thing in 35 too. And it got a little chilly and people were complaining about the temperatures.
Okay,
it's like,
so if
yeah,
you're going to bitch about it, wear a hoodie.
Exactly. And I think that Minnesota might be good, but you know Minnesota's in the Midwest, and us Midwest boys, we know how it gets during this time of
us
year.
Us Midwest boys don't really give a shit, cause
well, not just that, but it's like we don't know how it's gonna be too. Like it could be snowing, it could be
it
raining,
could be snowing,
it could be sunny,
raining, sunny.
It could have all four seasons in one day. We don't know.
We had all four seasons in one week before.
Oh yeah, we have. Well, I mean, in one day too.
Yeah. We're from the same spot, so
exactly.
We
yeah. But yeah, I think it would be pretty cool to have it in Minnesota, but I don't think the fans would care too much for it. Who knows? But like we said, bring a hoodie or something.
Quit
now,
your bitch.
Exactly. Now we're not gonna go too far in depth on who will face who in these matches, but I just want to know, like, who's gonna be walking out with some of these championships? You know, first up, I have the World Heavyweight Championship, the current champion, of course, Damian Priest. But I actually have, by the time...
This is a long shot. He's going to keep it until next year.
So he's going to walk out next Mania with the championship still.
I couldn't keep a straight face saying
that. Oh, I was saying, man, that might... I mean, given it would not surprise me given some of the title reigns that some of these wrestlers have had with these belts. But I have Gunther leaving next Mania as the heavyweight champ.
I could see that happening. He's got his time built up.
Exactly that, and he just had a really, really good run with that Intercontinental Championship. I think he needs something bigger now, and I think that's the first step. You know, is that next up we have the undisputed Universal Championship with current champion Cody Rhodes. I actually have CM Punk leaving as champion at that Mania.
I think Punk is going to get the belt before Mania, but
oh yeah.
That's just my opinion, but yes.
But you think he's going to be yeah. I'm not saying that they're going to win it at Mania. I'm saying that they're going to leave Mania as that champion.
He's
so he
never.
He's never main evented.
He's never main evented. Come on. I swear to God, my brain is just like not fast. I've got a broken brain, but he's never. Technically main evented WrestleMania.
No, he hasn't.
So it was WrestleMania 40.
Yeah, so that's the last WrestleMania, yeah. I think this will be his last WrestleMania coming up, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. He's what, 40 something?
Yeah, he's in his early 40s. So
I mean
yeah.
Ric Flair's still trying to wrestle. He's like older than fucking dirt. So
that motherfucker's gonna die in the ring.
One of these times I might have his twin brother
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, that was a great segment. I didn't even think about that. I just come up with that with the fly.
I see CM Punk with that. Raw Tag Team Champions, we have the current champions and Awesome Truth. I want to see them keep that
for a hot minute.
But I think going out of that Mania, I think you're gonna, I mean, not saying that this team's gonna win at Mania, like we said, but I would like to see Alpha Academy actually have some type of strap right there with Otis and Chad Gable.
That would be nice. Yes.
Because we need to see them.
I like the chubby boy. He's so funny.
Yeah, especially when he does the caterpillar and he does the elbow. I think Alpha Academy is well deserving, especially with Gable, the way he worked with Sami Zayn and helped him get ready for that Intercontinental match. I think that he deserves something. I think that Tag Team Championship would be well deserved in that situation. SmackDown Tag Team Champions with the current champions, A-Town Down Under. I, in their final run, have the Hardys walking out when it's all said and done with that Mania.
Which one? SmackDown or Raw?
I said SmackDown.
Oh, you said SmackDown. Yeah, I agree with SmackDown because if I'm not mistaken, that's where the Hardys started out, was in SmackDown. Like, that's one of the main part they've worked for. I mean,
yeah, that's one of the main brands. Yeah.
Yeah. I think SmackDown more than Raw, though. But I remember them splitting up, and then one was on each one as well. So
yeah, they had what was it, 1.0 or whatever, Matt Hardy. I think he was on SmackDown at one point in time, then they moved Jeff to Raw. Because Taker was mostly on Raw, and that's when they had that ladder match.
Yep. That match was amazing.
It was.
We're going to have to do an episode of just going back in the Hardy matches.
Oh, dude, we're gonna have to do like a deadlock episode, you know, like how the Deadlock boys do it, you know. Have that maybe on our Discord. So that would be pretty awesome just to go back and rewatch an old match, do a little bit of a recap, you know. Oh, man, United States Championship with current champion Logan Paul. I actually have Dirty Dom as my champion, my United States champion, by the time that WrestleMania is all done and over with.
That'd be kind of dope. I'm not going to lie to you.
I mean, he's already won the NXT North American Championship, so. Oh, man, that would be pretty dope, yeah. See another Mysterio with that? Hell yeah. Intercontinental champion, current champion Sami Zayn. By the time next Mania comes and goes, I think Solo Sikoa will be entering that wrestle. Will be having that belt by the time that WrestleMania is over. Because I'd like to see Solo with a belt. I mean, honestly, I would. Everybody else in that fucking bloodline had a belt. When's it gonna be Solo's turn?
You're not wrong.
Then WWE Women's Championship, current champion Bayley. I actually have Bayley still as the champion after that WrestleMania. I think you need to give Bayley.
She needs to have it at least a year, maybe two.
Yeah, I think so. Especially with the women's belt, it seems like they do push a little bit over a year, if not pretty damn near close to a year.
Hey, I think we forgot to drop the merch. Okay.
Yeah, we're getting there after WWE stuff, because we don't have that much for AEW. We got then the last belt that we would have is the Women's World Championship with current champion Rhea Ripley. Now you think she's gonna retain for that?
That's my girl, man. Something about Rhea Ripley, I watched her slowly in NXT, then I stopped. Then she come to Raw, and it was just game over. I'm like, yep, she found who she is. That's all her.
It also started at WrestleMania 36 during the COVID era, too, when she had that main event against, who was it, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it started then, and then she just rode that momentum for all those Mania. Well, all those Mania, she just rode that momentum. She had the fan support and everything. So, I mean, that helps a lot. Once you get over with the fans, that's like 9/10 of the battle right there. But I'm going to be spoiler. I think next year, I think this year, Jade Cargo is going to win Money in the Bank. And I think she's going to cash in. So I think by the time that Mania is done and passed, I think Jade Cargo will be holding that championship. I mean, they signed her away from AEW for a reason.
You're not wrong.
We also have some breaking news before we even started recording. Former New Japan Pro Wrestling star Tama Tonga has been reportedly seen in the city of Detroit, Michigan, ahead of this Friday night SmackDown. The 41-year-old let his New Japan Pro Wrestling contract expire, and there has been rumors of him joining the WWE for a while now. With him being a former Bullet Club member, could we possibly see him join the Judgment Day and be reunited with former Bullet Club leader Finn Balor?
Yes, we need it.
I think you kick JD out to the side, and I think you bring him in, honestly, because JD has done nothing for you over this past 6 months or so. I think that they just added him just to add him in there for some reason. I think it was because a faction down in NXT broke up. I can't remember where he was at before then. I think that they just needed really somewhere for him to go. So I would think that this would be a good addition for him, I think, because he knows how to do tag team too. So you could put him and Dom together, you could put him and Finn together, him and Priest together. I think either way they'd all work really, really well. But the thing is, when do you expect him to debut? Will they have him debut tonight? Or do you think this is more or less for him to get a contract set up with WWE, have like a business meeting, and do you expect him to probably show up during the WWE draft in 2 weeks? As like a free agent that just got signed, pretty much. Because, I mean, yeah, I don't think you're going to debut him at a pay-per-view. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. I don't think he debuts tonight, because I don't know. I mean, it is the first SmackDown after Mania. There's not really much excitement for the first SmackDown after Mania. It's mostly the first Raw after Mania. So, I mean, it'd be interesting. It'd be definitely interesting to see if they do pull the trigger on it for tonight. Before we get into what little AEW news that we have for you jabronis, I mean, like we said, AEW definitely got overshadowed by WrestleMania weekend. We got some bills to pay. That is why we are letting you guys know that this episode is sponsored by W and not Prime Energy, because fuck Prime Energy. What is W? W is the zero crash, zero artificial flavor energy drink that you make at home. Whether you're a gamer, a podcast host, or you just like hating on Logan Paul, W has the energy powder for you to get you through your day. With great tasting flavors such as Calio Cream and Dragonade. Not sure which flavor to try? Try their starter sample pack, which includes 3 single serve W energy powders along with 2 single serve W hydro powders. The hydro powders include no caffeine, along with a shaker cup. As a special thanks to all you jabronis out there, W is giving Jobber Nation 10% off their entire order, and all you have to do is put in code NATION2023 at checkout. That code, again, is NATION, all caps, followed by 2023, because at W and here at Jobber Nation, we strive to be better, unlike those fuckers at Prime Energy.
I don't allow Prime in my house. That shit's disgusting. I tried to drink it when it first came out. It's just so overly saturated with sugar. It's worse.
Exactly.
There's so much more sugar in it than regular ass Monster sweet tea.
And Monster and Red Bull, dude. It's it's a shit ton. But yeah, going on to our AEW news, what little we do have of it. On this week's edition of AEW Dynamite, the Young Bucks decided to show the backstage altercation between Jack Perry and former AEW employee Phil Brooks. And what can I say?
It's exactly how Phil's CM Punk,
also known as Pepsi Man. Oh man. But yeah, what can we say? It's exactly how Phil described it on the podcast that he was on last week. But this leaves me a little, just leaves me wondering, why the fuck did they decide to air something that happened between a former employee and an employee who is pissed off at ownership and how he's being booked? Did they think that this was going to give them a boost in ratings? Did they think that just because they had CM Punk being aired on their weekly television show that it was going to get the ratings in? Because it's not, because CM Punk's not wrestling. CM Punk isn't even on that company anymore. Why are you bringing this back up? Yeah, he took a shot at you. Yeah, he said what happened happened. And we looked at that footage and we seen exactly what he said. So it's not like Phil was telling a lie in this situation. It's just like,
he's just trying to throw dirt on him. But
exactly. But then again, I could see the other side of the story where he was pointing fingers at everybody else but himself too. I could see that side, but we didn't get that side. We just only seen the footage of what happened. We don't know anything else that went on backstage with all the politics and shit like
Fridays.
That.
It might have been fuck around and find out Friday. And somebody fucked around and they
found out. but yeah,
you can't be mad at that.
Exactly. But as of a boost in ratings, I guess Tony Khan did report that, I guess, according to him, there was a 24% increase in ratings. But I think that was mostly to see if the footage was real, because I think a lot of people were thinking that it was going to be like a fake footage type thing where it would be like the Young Bucks acting it out and shit like that as like a shot at like another tag team in the division. No one thought it was going to be an actual real footage. So I think that's why there was 24%. And after that segment, it just went downhill, I think, for the episode.
Yeah.
Because people were starting to turn it off and switch it and whatnot. And other AEW news, Dustin Rhodes tried to finish his story, so to say, when he took a massive L to Samoa Joe on Dynamite for the AEW World Championship. I say this with the utmost respect, Dustin, or can I call you Goldie?
Who cares?
I'll call you whatever the hell I want to call you. Goldie, please retire. Your little brother already finished a story that you couldn't even finish years before he even laced up boots. So, I mean, if you're going to try to finish a story, it just seems like you got, not just AEW, but it seems like Dustin's trying to ride on the coattails of what Triple H finished with Cody. It just seems like they're trying to capitalize it and try to make it another spinoff. Like, well, this Rhodes brother's going to finish his story now. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. You're too old. I don't want to see you as the champion of AEW, because that's just going to bring ratings down. I mean, it's not like it's the first year of AEW where that would have been fine, where you had someone like Jericho win the championship, where you needed someone who was an established wrestler to hold that for a little bit. We're not in that stage anymore. We can't be just going throwing on a championship because boohoo, I never won a big time world championship. My brother has, but I need to finish my story. No. Finish your story by retiring. You know what? No. Triple H and Tony Khan should have had a better agreement and should have been able to send your ass down there and back your brother up. Then you would have finished the story, because you would have helped your brother finish the story. And it just makes it seem like nowadays, especially with Dustin being on the shelf ever since, what was it, January, it just seems like they're trying to make Dustin relevant again. And that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, Dustin, you're good at what you're doing outside of the ring by developing new talent, but I don't think you should be in there competing for a world championship, especially in AEW, which is still trying to figure out who the hell they are. In other AEW news, it has been reported that Hook is likely to explore free agency after his current AEW contract is up. No word on when it is exactly up. Where could we see Hook going from here if he does, in fact, test free agency? Do you think he's going to try to follow in his dad's footsteps, since his dad is Taz, and sign with WWE? I mean, if you look at it, his time in AEW, he's been given one major shot at a world championship. And he lost against Samoa Joe for that shot, you know, and he's holding on to a fake championship, a championship that no wrestling promotion recognizes, the FTW championship. And it just seems to me that he wants a championship. He needs a championship, which is understandable. I mean, why not hook him up with the TNT or the International or whatever the hell championship that they have that's a mid-card championship? Why not give him a shot at that? Keep him happy. He is a younger star. He is one of the rising stars of this industry. So if I'm going to try to keep that rising star in my promotion, I'm going to give him a shot at a championship and give him a championship. Because I don't want him to be a rising star at another promotion.
Right.
But at the end of the day, though, I do see him going to WWE. I mean, I think with him,
I see that happening too.
I don't see him necessarily going to Raw or SmackDown. I see him maybe having a decent reign down at NXT before he gets called up, kind of like a Braun Breaker situation. But yeah, I think he wants a real title shot, and I think that Tony Khan is definitely dropping the eight ball on here and pretty much killed any title shot that he had when he lost to Samoa Joe.
Right.
And we have our little bit of news out of AEW involving a injured superstar. Miro, formerly known as Rusev, could be returning to in-ring action soon. Talk about another misused talent in AEW. And with a already stacked men's roster with Will Ospreay, Okada, Danielson, Moxley, Black, list goes on and on. It's going to have him, it's going to be hard for him to get some decent TV time coming back. If I was him, like I said, with a lot of these superstars, I don't know how many years are left in their contracts and stuff like that. I would say go to TNA. Sit out the rest of your contract and go to TNA where they need a little bit bigger superstars, where he can go and feud with Moose and where he can go and feud with a Josh Alexander. And I think that I could, you know, that would probably benefit him more than returning to AEW television where they dropped the ball on him completely. I mean, look what TNA did for Bobby Lashley when he went there. He ended up winning a few championships, and then WWE come calling WrestleMania 34 weekend, and he was signed that weekend.
Yes, you are not wrong.
With AEW being overshadowed, like we've been talking about, with WrestleMania weekend, that is all the news that we have for them. So that brings us to our final segment of the show, and that is our Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week. And this week's Jobber of the Week does not actually go to a wrestler, but someone I can't believe has more money to afford to go to every single live event that the WWE puts on. And that is the green shirt guy. I can't believe that it's been 12 years since he attended his first major event in the front row. I just want to know how he gets the tickets to the same seats every single major pay-per-view. And if anyone knows who this green shirt guy is, can get contact with him or whatever, we would love to have him get a hold of us because we have so many questions for him. Like, I got to know more about this guy. I mean, this guy's been around for 12 years and no one really knows who the hell he is. Doesn't know much about him, what he does for a living, if he's a Planted fan or what. I mean, I just got to know more about him. And for those reasons why, he is my Jobber Nation Jobber of the Week. All right, that does it for this week's show,
I'm sorry.
Jabronis. Oh, you're all right, man.
I was listening to something.
But well, yeah, that
two people at once.
Oh, yeah, you're good, man. You're good. That does it for our show this week, you Jabronis. As always, like all us right on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/officialjobberclubpodcast. And if you listen to us, you can listen to us also on Spotify. Mm-hmm. Or wherever you get your podcast at by searching Jobber Club Podcast in the search bar. Twitch affiliate face, you got anything else to plug?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to put it on the screen right now so I don't forget any of it. So go to FaceGaming_13 on Instagram, TikTok, Twitch. We just fired up YouTube. We're still like dipping our toes into YouTube. It's at facegaming_13 on YouTube. Discord for the Jabba Club and me. I'm trying to learn both, but I might have somebody else do the Discord because I don't know how to do it right. Don't forget to go follow the Jabba Club podcast on Spotify and iTunes or Apple Podcast. And that's all I got. I mean, that's
what I got. Exactly. So with that being said, that is this week's episode.
Hey, Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
You should run.